Tonight, WrestleMania Backlash has redefined what a premium event can look like. The question is this what we want to see? One title match per big event? That title match did see Ronda Rousey defeat Charlotte Flair to become SmackDown Women's Champion. What's next for the rowdy one? Speaking of Flairs, Rick wants to get back in the ring at 73 years old and after having major health complications. Forbidden Door is still a month away, but some AEW stars appeared at New Japan's pay-per-view last night. Roman Reigns could be disappearing from your town if you live in a smaller market. And Canadian independent star Kat Von Hees joins us tonight to talk about women's wrestling and more. All on Sunday night's main event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Hey, I'm Mike McGuire. Welcome to Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday night's main event. And we are on the road coming to you from the camper extraordinaire, Lois's Dream Machine, a.k.a. my ride that's been taking me across country and now is home to the mobile studio. Sunday night's main event is powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. And I've been near many of the Great Lakes this week and will be near even more of them in the weeks to come. Still, we're going to bring you a show that's going to happen every week here on snmeradio.com or at patreon.com/snmeradio. We thank you for your support. And this week, for your patience. It's been an adventure, to say the least. Nevertheless, if you would like to be a part of the show, patreon.com/snmeradio. We love you for it. A shout-out to our buddy Dax, who actually was a part of one of the podcasts last week, the Rampage Rumble. He guest-hosted on that thing. Also, you get other great shows, like our Smack Daddies out in Nova Scotia. And yes, boys, it is Mike McGuire. Don't forget that Gary and Bill. Plus, we have loads of other great daily shows for you. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. You're going to meet a new member of the family, Kat Von Hees, a dear friend of mine. She's been a pro wrestler out of Canada for the last 10 years. She has been all over North America. And you're going to learn a little bit about her story tonight. And she's going to be back from time to time to talk about women's wrestling. Because, you know, why wouldn't you have a woman who's a wrestler talk about women's wrestling? And as always, Dave Meltzer is standing by from the Wrestling Observer. We're going to talk about all the big stories in wrestling this week. But first, we have to find out what they are. Here is this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
This is a story that has been ongoing, but until now, it hadn't become fatal. And frankly, this is my first time talking about it since taking over the reins of Sunday night's main event. Former WWE star Tammy Sunny Sitch. If you're a longtime fan, you've probably heard and seen the stories about what's been going on in her life. Sunny is currently behind bars after having bond revoked following a fatal car accident. Tammy Sitch was arrested back in April after allegedly speeding and rear-ending a vehicle. After that collision, a 75-year-old man was in the vehicle. He died from his injuries. In the investigation, Sitch was found to be allegedly driving without a license and failed a field sobriety test with nearly 3.5 times the legal alcohol limit in her system. She was released on bond earlier this week, but it was revoked after a judge deemed her to be a danger to society. Her next court date is scheduled for May 31st. Okay, be honest. Do you really want to see another Ric Flair match? That's not knocking the guy. The question is, would you turn over your money to see this happen live? Ric Flair is now 73 years old, and all indicators are pointing to the fact that he wants to make a comeback in the ring. There's some footage of him and Jay Lethal training from a few weeks ago. Now there's talk that there could be an actual match happening. Now, in addition to being 73 years old, not saying that should limit him, Rick has had some major health complications. If he is healthy, it is his choice. But many are hoping that he doesn't do that, including former WCW announcer Chris Cruz, who went as far as to write his state's athletic commission an open letter asking them to deny Flair a wrestling license should he apply in the state of Maryland. That's all well and good, except there are numerous states that don't have athletic commissions, and therefore, there really isn't much stopping Flair from wrestling if he wants to. Several AEW stars appeared on Saturday night's New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-view out of DC. Stars like Jon Moxley, Eddie Kingston, and more. gave us perhaps what a preview of Forbidden Door could look like coming up next month. Now, realize there's still no matches announced for the AEW and New Japan joint event. We don't know if there will be any titles on the line or titles created. There's been talk of the Trios Championship making its way to the promotion. We don't know. But one thing's for sure is that if you're looking for Forbidden Door action between Impact, New Japan, and basically every major indie out there right now, you're getting a fair share of it before the big event coming up next month. Roman Reigns recently thanked fans in New Jersey, saying that his career may be entering a different phase and he might not make it back to smaller cities in the future. Now, nobody knows what Roman's plans are for sure, but hopefully we can catch up with Dave Meltzer and find out some of the details on what might be circulating as far as the future of the big dog, the tribal chief, the former Edmonton CFL player. And for those that were hoping for the tag team unification match, if you haven't heard, it is now going to be happening on next week's SmackDown. That's right, free TV, one of the most anticipated matches from WrestleMania Backlash, is now going to be on Fox on Friday. We've got a lot more coming up on the show. Again, we're going to talk to Canadian independent wrestler Kat Von Hees about what her life has been like for the past decade. And when it comes to Ronda Rousey on RTV, should it be a little less talk and a lot more action? That with Dave Meltzer and more coming up on Sunday night's main event.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show,
Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who's back? With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Dave, before we get going, you're on the road this week. I'm on the road in the SNME mobile studio, aka my camper. With all the setup, with all the internet rigmarole, and then my computer decides to die out. I've just had a day already. I tell you, I can't wait to get out of here and hit the road again with some driving tunes. What's your go-to driving music? What do you like when you're on there?
I usually think more than listen to music. I'm always trying to think about like whatever I'm going to be doing when I get home.
Oh, that's fair too. Plan ahead, and I'm sure you've always got what your next stories are going to be and what your next newsletters are going to contain as well. I mean, the amount of information you put out a week, I totally accept that's exactly what you do, as you think, because I can't imagine how much is swirling around in that brain of yours when it comes to just the weekly events of wrestling. And then we have a week like this where we've got weird stories. We've got a bit of a really sad / disturbing story that we'll start with in a second here. And then we've got the business itself seemingly changing every week. So we'll jump in.
There's a lot this week going on as far as background of business with WWE and AEW, in the sense of the upfronts, the upfronts for NBCU and the upfronts for Warner are coming on right now, which is very important, as far as the positioning. Both sides are positioning wrestling very strongly, which is a good sign.
That means good money then for both companies. possibly?
It in theory means better ad revenue, which would lead to good money down the road. In theory, that's what it means.
Now, this has to be one of the tightest rosters they've had in a while compared to obviously the years where they were just gobbling everybody up. Are there wrestlers who are just outbidding themselves? Like they're bidding themselves too high, you feel? And
well, Bray Wyatt, sure.
Saying that Bray doesn't deserve it. I mean, definitely ask for what you think you're worth, but there's got to be a point where they have to look at what's going on and say, okay, what can I really offer and what can I really get at this point if you're a wrestler trying to get a contract?
Well, if you're top talent, it's never been more, and it's going to increase most likely. I mean, you don't know, but if AEW gets a rights increase, then the salaries for the biggest name wrestlers are going to go way up. I always tell people now is sign the shortest term deal you can, because in 3 years, whatever you think is big money now will not be big money then. It will be medium money.
Okay, I want to touch on this story. It's something that I've intentionally kind of shied away from for a while. And the reason why isn't that it's not newsworthy. It's, I believe that it might not be wrestling newsworthy as much as it has been until now. Tammy Sitch has been going through a litany of problems through the years here. And there's obviously some mental health issues. There's some problems where, you know, I'm not qualified to say that per se, but she's even said herself, like she's got her own stuff she's dealing with. She's going through, there's been a history of DUIs. There's been a history of driving without a license. And now, sadly, it looks as though this has resulted in the death of someone. She rear-ended the vehicle this person was in. That person died. She was then released on bond, but the bond was then revoked. So Tammy Sitch now is in custody. And I always hear about people who will detract, and people will say, oh, well, that's it. She's ruined her life now. And these things. And I think that's a horrible way to look at it, because this is still a human being that's going through some things. Do you know if Tammy has anybody on her side that is in
the I'm sure there's some people, but it's you know, it becomes harder and harder each DUI to you know, be defensive of the situation. And I think that the ruling was the only ruling. I mean, like when you don't have a license and you had multiple DUIs and then you continue to drive without a license while having multiple DUIs while on probation for more than one thing.
Yeah.
And then somebody dies. It's kind of like, you know, there's a line, and I think she crossed the line before, but she obviously has already crossed the line. And it's,
oh, I'm not defending the act for a second, but I'm just worried about the person, you know, like
she's, you know, I mean, obviously all of the different, you know, when you see all these lists of things and then you realize that probably most doesn't get reported, you know, you realize that there is a huge, huge problem here. Yes.
Yeah. I remember when she was riding high top of the business. I mean, she was the star in the WWF.
She was a big star. She was a big star. And she would have been, if it wasn't for all these things, she would have been a big star for much longer. I know at one point, I mean, there's many times that there were storylines where she would have fit into really well, you know, after WWE, in TNA, in other places. And you know, the companies wouldn't take the risk. I mean, I know one specific situation where there was a storyline where she would have fit in perfectly in TNA. And, but you know, the company kind of, and they were interested, and then it was just kind of like, it's just not worth the risk. And it was just too bad for her. You know,
that's fair. I mean, I understand the business side of it and all of it. Like, I'm not excusing anything that she's done or has had happened. I guess what I'm just worried about is, you know, I just was listening to stories over the weekend. I was listening to Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
And Dustin talked about the day that he finally called his dad and asked him to call WWE and say, you know, I'm sick of this. Get me the rehab, get me the program.
Yeah.
And he went and did it. And we've heard numerous stories like this throughout the years.
Well, you have the rehab, you have your successes and your failures. And I don't know. I mean, like, I think a good person to talk to about is Sean Waltman, because he's had been both failed and succeeded at this. you know, whereas some people like Dustin, I don't know the whole situation with Dustin. I know obviously Dustin was in a very, very dark place at one point in his life, and Dustin seems to be doing tremendously well right now. And, you know, and it's congratulations to him for sure.
Yeah. Really,
you know, it's a hard thing to lick though, especially because of the atmosphere. Although the atmosphere now in wrestling, I mean, to its credit, is much, much better than before. If you were in the previous generation and you were, you know, like just throwing John Moxley's name and you went right back into wrestling, you'd be around all these people who were just, you know, doing drugs and drinking and everything like that. And it's hard to not partake when everyone's partaking and you kind of like, oh, well, I'll just do it once. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're back where you were. Whereas this generation, you know, it's not like it's everyone's clean, but it's far cleaner and you can find a social circle of people that don't do that.
I don't know what the right answer is here. And by no means am I excusing anything that's happened. I just, you wish the best for people and
you wish the best for everyone, but yeah, it's I mean, in the case of her, it's not about her anymore, it's about society.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like if she never drove, then that's fine, it's like whatever, but it's like I can't guarantee she won't drive, and nobody else can too unless they lock her up. And it's a risk her driving. I mean, her blood alcohol content was 0.28. That's not like a miss. That's, yeah, like
that's three times the limit is what they said.
Three and a half times the limit. Yeah. So it's, and it's not like she, you know, hasn't had a chance to learn from her mistakes. I mean, I like to give people a chance. Everyone's going to make a mistake. I like to give people a chance to learn from their mistakes. But you know, at some point you just have to say, for the betterment of society, she can't be out there out because she'll drive. And when she drives in that situation, then it's dangerous to society.
Okay. Well, I think that's where we can leave off on that topic, just out of fairness too. And again, condolences to the family of the person who was killed.
Yeah. Julian Lasseter. Yeah. It's just, I mean, just really sad.
Yeah.
Really sad. Just, you know, and there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a big lawsuit. There is a lawsuit filed on that too. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, let's get back to wrestling here, and risk of a different stroke, I suppose. And I say this with all due respect to this man as well. What have you heard about Ric Flair training for a return match at age 73? That video of him and Jay Lethal came out a few weeks ago.
There's been a couple of videos now
taking
with him
bumps,
and Jay.
Yeah, running ropes, all the classic Nature Boy things. Is this a good idea? And if so, who's going to put it on?
I mean, the rumor is Conrad Thompson, but I don't know that as a fact. But I mean, as far as it's a real thing. I mean, there's a match, you know, Ric Flair and whatever, you know, Ric Flair and FTR as a team, 6-man tag. I don't know where, you know, Rick just told me Rick told me it's a secret, but he did tell me it's a real, you know, so it's real. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I like, I don't really want to see anyone in their 70s. And then when the case of Rick, you know, we all think back a few years ago when he had, you know, that near death experience, and all the different health problems he had from that. So it's, in that sense, it's like, you know, I first heard, it's like, oh my God, you know, like, I'm scared, but you know, it's not scared. I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, it's close
you
to the right word.
You worry for the guy.
I absolutely, absolutely worry for the guy. And I, there's a part of me that wishes it wouldn't happen. Yet at the same time, you know, Rick in a wrestling ring is like a duck in water, and I know he misses it, but also I don't know, you know, I just don't want Rick to go in there and tear his tricep or, you know what I mean? Just to prove at this point. I mean, he's got nothing to prove as a wrestler, you know, his
nothing
wrestling,
to prove. Exactly.
His wrestling legacy is, you know, incredible, but, and you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not happy with it, but you know, there's a good chance that he'll do it and come out okay too. He's training for it. And, you know, if there's any red flags, hopefully, and he can't do it, hopefully they'll go in there. And also, again, it's a 6-man tag. It's not like he's going to go out there and do a 20-minute singles match. Those guys are great. They're going to put him in for the spots. And people want to see a few trademark spots from him. And most of those, you know, a few chops and, you know, I mean, I hope he's not taking the slam off the top, but maybe he thinks he can. I don't know.
Well, top rope. Oh my.
I don't know what Rick's going to do, but part of it, you know, there's a, It's like a once in a lifetime thing. I don't imagine him doing a lot of matches or anything, but I don't know.
Is it going to be Hogan on the other side?
No, Hogan.
No, he's done.
Hogan has actually said he's done. His body's messed up. His back is thrashed.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick, even though Rick took much more punishment than Hogan, I mean, everyone's different. Hogan's body is not conducive at the size he was to take in the stuff. And, you know, he's paying for what he did, all those leg drops and, you know, yeah, but he shouldn't be Hogan. You know, I mean, he had all those back surgeries, you know, he really shouldn't be wrestling. Yeah.
We're talking to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, wrestlingobserver.com. Ric Flair talking about returning to the ring at age 73, someone who returned to the ring not too long ago and is now once again your SmackDown Women's Champion. WrestleMania Backlash aside, you know, we kind of went into the show going, well, what's this going to be? And these two put out what's arguably the match of the night, maybe, you know, 1 and 1A with Cody and Seth.
I love the six man, but the Ronda and Charlotte had a great match. No doubt.
It was phenomenal, I thought. And
yeah.
Is this a case where now with Ronda doing the open challenges, do you think they're finding a way to have Ronda be a little less talk and a lot more action?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like the problem is that in the modern business, to be a top person, you're going to have to do your talking segments. Ronda is, you know, but yeah, I think that for Ronda, less talk, more in ring is probably a better formula. And you want to work to the strengths of the person, someone who is a great talker, but not necessarily a great wrestler. Don't have them do a lot of wrestling matches. Someone who is a great wrestler, not the best talker, you know, feature him more and get a mouthpiece for him. You know, it's too bad because at a different point in time, you know, Heyman could have managed Ronda and, you know, Ronda's, you know, fed a few lines to Ronda and everything like that. And it would have been an amazing, amazing main event package, but you know, Heyman's with Roman Reigns and that's, you know, that's just where it is right now. If, you know, who knows, maybe someday. I mean, I know if Ronda had her way, she would be managed by Paul Heyman.
Speaking of Roman Reigns, he makes a small address in front of a New Jersey crowd. The internet runs wild with it. Roman's going Hollywood. Is he retiring? All these things. So the statement that was made basically said that he wasn't going to be visiting markets like Trenton, New Jersey that much anymore because his career was entering a different phase. Is he entering a TV only mode? Is this going to be just major events like MSG or is
me less than that?
Take off longer than that. Yeah.
Less than that. I think it's going to be a little bit more than Lesnar, but very similar to Lesnar in the sense that he will do big pay-per-views, you know, like the stadium shows, and he will do the TVs to build the big pay-per-views. And, you know, he may do a shot here and there, you know, like Lesnar did Lesnar did a few house shows here and there.
Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. Last thing, Dave. Tony Khan responding to critics saying that AEW is using blood too much. Is AEW running the risk of being too gory too often? Have you heard of anything with the network saying like, this is too much, guys? You got to lighten this load a bit. We just had that crazy match for the Owen Hart tournament between Darby and Jeff Hardy.
I haven't heard anyone complaining about the Darby match with Jeff Hardy either. Right. Maybe me, because I don't like seeing guys get hurt, but, that's not an issue at all. But, I mean, as far as the blood, you know, I mean, they've built the company on that. Yeah. At the same time, I would say, you know, if it's me, I do it very sparingly. I mean, there's always times for it in the right grudge match, you know, like the dog collar match with MJF and Punk, right? You know, you had to have it. There's matches.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's matches where, you know, you have to have it and everything. And, you know, that going in. I mean, overdone. It's clearly overdone for some people, and other people will look the other way and whatever. It is, I believe, one of the reasons why WWE does better with women than AEW by comparison. It's not the only reason. Maybe it's the prime reason, because at first it felt to me, when I was first following the numbers, that AEW is actually going to catch up in women before men, and were, you know, early on. And now it's changed in the sense that AEW is way more competitive with WWE with men, but they're still behind in women, especially women 35 to 49. And there's, you know, there's whatever it is with the product mix, there's a reason. I mean, what the reason is everyone will have their own interpretation, but those facts cannot be debated. That's just how it is.
Well, you know what? There's lots to talk about and debate every week in pro wrestling. We do it with the man himself, Dave Meltzer. Thank you for taking time out of your busy weekend, as always, sir. And we'll catch you again this time on time next week.
Okay, have a great week.
It's Main Event. That is Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com. We are back with more Sunday night's main event, including Kat Von Hees next.
Eastbound and down. This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. It can't be done.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in pain.
Welcome somebody new to the SNME Radio family. She is not new to wrestling of any kind, though. Her name, Kat Von Hees. She is known very well on the independent wrestling circuit across Canada. And where else have you wrestled, Kat?
I've wrestled all over the United States and a little bit in Mexico as well.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know about the Mexican part. I knew about the States part, but I didn't know Mexico.
Yeah.
How long have you been wrestling?
I guess, technically speaking, this year would have been my 10th year anniversary.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing you on today because we're going to talk more about women in wrestling, and I don't frankly feel qualified to do that. So that's why you're here. But at the same time, I wanted to just introduce the SNME Radio family to you, because you and I have been friends for a number of years now. You married a good friend of mine, and who's also a wrestler named Bobby Sharp, the Lion. What is he? The Lion Warrior. Yes, I always remember the Lion King and the Lion Cub, because when he was a heel, that's what people would always cheer throughout at him. But Bobby has been one of those guys I've known has been just married to the business his whole life. I met him when I think he was like 12 or 13 when he first started getting around wrestling rings. And now you guys have been together for a number of years, but we can talk about him another time. I want to talk more about you and your start. And then we can find out how that led to you guys meeting. But it's such a cliche question, but what was your life like before wrestling, and what made you decide that this is what you wanted to do?
I guess I grew up not really being like the athletic type. Like, I don't come from a very athletic family, hardworking family, but not athletic. So, I mean, I really was a 5-pin bowler for about 15 years, to be honest, prior to really getting into anything super serious. I struggled a lot with weight and stuff like that my whole life. So, a lot of schools don't just kind of like jump you onto teams unless you're ready to go. Like, they don't really give you that opportunity to do it. So, wrestling was the first team to really allow me the opportunity to kind of just try. And, you know, if I succeeded, it was because I did the work. And if I failed, it was because I didn't do the work. And so when I saw myself having success on the amateur wrestling scene and with the coach that I had, who was willing to kind of extend his reach and give me a hand with advice and stuff, I saw like there was more potential. And I mean, I grew up watching wrestling when I was really little, took a hiatus for a bit because my family, again, really never had the channels in the house for that. And then I started meeting a lot of local wrestlers through like MySpace and at the gym and sort of going to local shows. And then I started looking at schooling options to go. And I looked at like Windsor. Funny enough, I actually wanted to really go train with Johnny Devine when I was like really, really young. and then the school closed down and, I had a situation where I felt not safe going to Ontario, but that's a story for another time.
You went to Thunder Bay, didn't you? That's what happened to me. I went to Thunder Bay and I was like, dear Lord. No, I'm kidding. Love you, Thunder Bay.
Yeah, no, I never went. I don't even remember where the school is supposed to be, but it was, it was boy related at the time. So it was not someplace I felt good going. And that school had shut down at the time. So Fast forward years later, 2016, I ended up going out to Windsor and training with Johnny Devine and Scott D'Amore anyway. So kind of full circle there. But no, the first school I went to was CWE in Winnipeg, because that was the shows I was going to. So Danny Duggan and Mentolo, and so I kind of watched them all the time when Danny broke in at his business in 2009. I started going to the shows religiously every month, and I kept in touch with him and really kind of reiterated how much I wanted to kind of get started. And it was really challenging to kind of break in and get that opportunity. But once CWE had their school open, I just jumped at the opportunity to train with Mentolo and that school at the time. And then the rest is history.
And for those that don't know, I mean, we can tie Chris Jericho and we can tie other names to Winnipeg, obviously, but, you know, Don Callis comes from roots in there, Dr. Luther, just current names that we know, but there's a crazy wrestling scene, especially the independent wrestling scene in Winnipeg. And I remember, 15-ish some odd years ago, there was like just an ungodly amount of companies running and there was just so many shows and so much chaos and stuff going on. with independent wrestling in Manitoba. So for you to actually find a foothold and find people who could train you who are actually, you know, competent and not just there to take your money, that to me is a win already. But
yeah,
you go from there, and I want to just disassociate the two for a second. So your start in athletics was that high school wrestling?
I started in junior high. A year. And then there was a bit of a hiatus because they don't really have a lot of wrestling programs in Manitoba. There's, I think the only one in my school division was Kildonan East had a known wrestling coach there. And that was kind of a thing, but my high school didn't have anything. So like even the coach that came in was not affiliated with the school. He was his own like after school program that they allowed to come into the school.
This is like his side hustle. And they said, okay, you can teach our kids. Just don't do anything weird.
To be honest, not a lot of the kids from the high school actually went. Like a few people started, but most of the people that came to that thing were actually from out of that school. One girl and I were kind of paired together because we were in the same weight class. And then he had another girl that he brought in, but she didn't stick around. She got injured and then never came back. And so I was training predominantly with the guys on that team just because they're really, even then there was not a lot of women in any sort of combat sport. Like right. I got into jiu-jitsu, like that's kind of how
what year was that? Do you remember?
2005, 2006.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Cause then after that, like that program actually got kicked out of our school the following year. So I didn't even get to continue. Hmm. So I had to, me and one of the guys from our school were really interested in continuing. And he was friends with the son of the coach from the other high school. So he reached out to him and said, hey, like me and this girl want to continue training wrestling. Can we come to your practices like secretly? And so for a long time, I genuinely thought I snuck over there for practices and my high school was none the wiser. And I went to my gym teachers. I was like, yeah, like, I don't know if you guys ever knew this, but like I totally continued wrestling after you guys got rid of the program. They're like, oh no, they definitely called us.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of liability issue there otherwise.
Yeah, I had no idea they knew. I thought I was being all sneaky and stealthy. And
I'm picturing you and this other guy going from your high school to the others and like on the way changing into like conquistadors outfits or something and putting the masks on. He's like, they'll never know it's us.
With my funky hair. Yeah, no, we thought we got away with it all those years. And he's like, well, when we got the call, we first said like, oh, hey, maybe not. But we looked at it as like two kids that want to pursue something that we don't offer and they're not doing anything to get into trouble. Like they're being productive with their time and doing something to better themselves. So like punishing us for not like having a program that they don't have at the school, it didn't seem right. So they just let us do it. And he was like, again, most of that coach's sons had actually gone to our high school for the football program. So the gym teachers knew who he was and knew he was a good guy, good coach, and would like definitely keep us level-headed. And if we got into any trouble, he would deal with it or inform them if there was anything going on. But then after high school, there again, no option. So I tried to stay in touch with some of the guys I trained with. And I went to the University of Manitoba, had like a wrestling club because there wasn't allowed to be a wrestling team.
Right.
So we had a wrestling club. But there were certain days where certain bosses were not in the building. So the coach was, I believe he was a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. So I remember being late for practice one day because my bus was late. So I was running in like 5 minutes late. And I was like, so sorry. And I walked in, I was like getting ready and I was looking what everybody was doing, 'cause I just wanted to be able to jump in. And I was like, this doesn't look like wrestling. we're not doing normal stuff. So then I was like, oh, like, what are we doing? He's like, oh, we're doing jiu-jitsu today, but like, don't tell anybody we're doing this. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, well, I'll show you a couple things. So he showed me like a submission called the Americana, which is like an arm submission. And he showed me a rear naked choke. And
those are the only jumps two right into me. The submissions, eh? It's like, no, we're going right to this. We're not even going to the holds. We're not going into transitions. We're going right into submissions. All
right. Right into two moves. And I was like, well, we'll see what happens. And yeah, like I actually did pretty good. The Americana became like my signature move when I went into any sort of tournaments. Like if I didn't know what the heck I was doing, I was like, I'm putting this on, I'm getting their arm and I'm going to put this move on, 'cause I know what I'm doing. Tremendous. So I like my first tournament I did, like I tapped out two people to that move. So it became my little signature jiu-jitsu move. But at the same time, I didn't like pursue jiu-jitsu too much more. I went into another club after that, 'cause I really did like, jiu-jitsu for grappling. And, again, I was the only girl in that club. You know, years later, I would kind of come back and visit my hometown and, I'd go, you know, check out the club and there's like 9 or 8 women, that would be at practice. And it was like, you know, probably like 5 or 6 years later, but it was like, where were you when I was here?
Well, you can look at it that way, or you can look at it as, you know, like I pioneered something really, because I mean, I'm sure that your involvement there made the club more open to having women in and vice versa. And women get interested when they see someone like you. So that's very cool. You transition, like we said, to pro wrestling. We already talked about your training a little bit here. I want to talk about the last 10 years quickly, just so people listening right now, and if you're just tuning in, this is Sunday Night's Main Event, talking to Kat Von Hees, a professional wrestler originally out of Winnipeg, but now out of Alberta, and touring the North American continent and beyond, perhaps, as an independent wrestler now for the last decade. Where was your first match? Was it with a guy or a girl, and how did it go? And I'm talking first match in front of people, because everybody can talk about taking bumps in the first and all that other stuff, but when it comes to your actual first match, where was it? Who was it against, and how did it go?
So this is kind of a, like, I technically, I would say I have two first matches, because my first match ever. So technically, if we go by that day, I'd be 11 years in at this point.
Okay.
Because my first match was February 8th of 2011. Mm-hmm. And it was for Wavell Stars promotion in Saskatchewan.
Okay.
And so they needed a girl. And I was asked, like, hey, like, do you think you could pull through a match like right now? And I was like, because I had no training. Keep in mind, at this point, I have zero training under my belt. I've not taken a bump. Good. Like I have amateur wrestling background, and I have jiu-jitsu experience and like powerlifting and bodybuilding under my belt. So it's not like I'm going in there with like no strength and no athleticism.
You're green as goose poop when it comes to working a match. So who was it?
So it ended up, I get there and I'm thinking, like, I know a little bit. I've talked to the guys. I'm like, okay, they're probably going to put me on second so that it's just like covered in there. So if it's crap, like it's covered up on both sides. And then they were like, oh, we're thinking about putting you in the main event. And I was like, I don't feel ready for this. So it was supposed to be me and me versus Kathy Cougar.
Okay.
In a singles in the main event. Needless to say, Kathy wasn't overly pumped about wrestling not only someone super green, but someone that was technically not trained at the time. And I don't blame her, you know, being someone in the business now, like I would say 10 years officially, I totally 100%.
It's a big risk. It's a big risk on both sides, because you could get hurt, or she could get hurt, or you could both get hurt, or it can be a mess. But
absolutely.
How did it go? How did it go? Start to finish.
Surprisingly. So I did communicate. I'm like, I don't think I'm like in a position where I can do this. Like, you know, a 15-minute main event match. Like, I'm not at that point.
Yeah.
And so we changed it to a mixed tag. So it ended up being me and Wavell Starr versus AJ Sanchez and Kathy Cougar.
Just
and it was a lot
wrestling
of,
all over that, eh? Just prairie.
Yeah.
Just,
all over it. But it was, yeah, we just kept it really, really simple, very basic stuff that, like, I mean, I've watched, I've done it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of integrated what I would do in a real, like an amateur wrestling match and kind of used those skills so that we weren't going outside the box. And Wavell Starr is a really good guide. So he's able to kind of like, he knows what most people are capable of or can't do. So it honestly, like, I wouldn't say like I had a stellar performance, but like, it definitely wasn't like falling apart at the seams and it didn't look uncohesive. And, yeah. So then that was, I would say, my first one ever.
Okay.
But then, you know, I really don't necessarily count it because of the circumstances, but it definitely is what allowed me to get my foot in the door. Cause right after that match, the next day I was a referee. So it was the first time I ever reffed. And, so I got to see the match from a different perspective, the show from a different perspective. And basically I became a ref for CWE at that point. My first official match after CWE's school closed down, I ended up going on the Northern Death Tour.
The Tony Condello tours.
Yeah. Wow. So that was, I just jump right into the deep end most of the time when I do stuff. I just up creek without a paddle is the way I do things. we'll see if I sink or swim.
For those that don't know the Tony Condello death tours, these things are famous. I think Edge and Christian probably made them the most famous as far as the mainstream goes, talking about driving on these ice roads, all these small towns and, you know, 50 people in a 10 passenger van and you name it. But this is all incredible. We're talking to Kat Von Hees. The whole point of having you on, Kat, is to bring you into SNME, to have you talk about the women's wrestling scene. We got so much more we could talk about with you, though. So here's my idea. We're running out of time on the show already. But how about later on this week, we'll do something, an extended version. We'll make it free for everybody. And we'll just we'll talk more about this and we'll get some more of your background. Because I've known you as a wrestler for the past few years, but I know your history is great. And when you're getting stories like this just in the first couple matches, like this, this is already... I hope this shows everybody just some of the idea and gives them an idea. You know, you're... And I hate to embellish this, but I'll say this again as a friend, as someone who's watched your career now, you really are kind of a pioneer, especially to women wrestlers in the early 2000s to now, because the numbers of you then versus now, you know, like I remember when Natty was wrestling Natalia in WWE and, you know, she had like one, maybe two opponents in Canada she could work with on a regular basis. Now there's so many more women wrestling today. So her name is Kat Von Hees. You're going to hear her a lot more on SNME Radio. We're going to talk about everything, including Ronda Rousey, your new WWE Women's Champion, and maybe what's happened in the last 4 years since Evolution and what the prospects are for women wrestlers in the bigger leagues. But Kat, I can't believe we're out of time already. This is amazing. Thank you for being here. And if people want to find you, where can they find you on social media?
Keep it really simple. Just Kat Von Hees on both Instagram and Facebook. I don't really do the other ones just yet, but it'll more than likely be the same handle for all of them.
That is KatVonHeez or Z for our American friends. Kat Von Hees, this has been a slice. It went by way too fast, and we will catch up again soon, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is yous?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you want to go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus Wants to Fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It's Mike McGuire here. I want to thank you so much for sticking around this week. I know it's been a bit of a drag here. We had a ton of technical issues, a ton of stuff just not going our way. I think I've got it fixed now. I don't know why, but it turns out like wee in the hours of Monday morning, the computer decided to finally get working properly again, and things are good. So next week, we are back on track, I guarantee. In fact, next week, I will be doing this very show from the home of Sunday Night's Main Event, right in the heart of TO. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be meeting the whole crew for the first time. So you never know who's going to show up on the show. But again, thank you. I hope you enjoyed meeting my friend Kat Von Hees. I hope you enjoyed the chat with Meltzer today. And most importantly, I hope you'll join us again next week for another edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. Until then, as always, thanks for listening. And let me do what I do. Play safe. Drive safe. Bye. Be seeing ya.